You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey guys, make sure to check out Green Mountain Dental Group today. They are hooking up DNVR members with a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. That's awesome value. It's maybe the coolest perk that any of our sponsors here on the DNVR Podcast Network are giving out, because a Sonicare toothbrush is a top-of-the-line electric toothbrush. You go to Target, you look at all the electric toothbrushes they have. The Sonicares are always really pricey, but you can get one for free when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam at Green Mountain Dental Group today, located just 15 minutes from downtown Denver. A lot of us here at DNVR, we go to Green Mountain Dental Group to get our teeth cleaned, to get our teeth pulled if we need to, get cavities filled, get our wisdom teeth pulled. It's a great experience every time. Check them out today and get a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the lounge, the post-game lounge, the loser's lounge tonight.
I thought you were going to avoid the loser part of that.
I couldn't avoid the obvious. Yeah, it's a loser's lounge, unfortunately. I'm Harrison Wynn. Yeah. I'm going to address the elephant in the room. Adamar is not here tonight, out for personal reasons like Gary Harris was. He should be back soon, though.
I'm glad that I'm not the elephant in the room.
How do you know?
Well, I was waiting for what followed.
There's never been a room with two elephants?
I'm going to address the elephant in the room. Hey, Eric.
I'm going to address one of two elephants in the room.
You have on, like, all gray and everything. You could be the elephant in the room.
Oh, man. We got a lot to talk about tonight, though, because this was a game that it felt like the Nuggets were going to win for definitely the first half and even a little into that third, and then, man, we'll definitely talk about what happened. Bol Bol started tonight, which was just like wild. We'll get into that as well. I am joined by Eric Wheatum. You know him as D-Line. D-Line, you know him as Eric Wheatum.
That's right, guys. I'm here. Let's address this elephant. Let's go.
We've got Superstar Dev as well. What's going on, man?
I can't believe that Kevin Durant is still good at basketball.
I know, I thought for sure.
Dude, are we ready to like rewrite the book on guys coming back from Achilles injuries after Kevin Durant?
He's rewriting the book. It's him. He's every page.
He's the book.
He's the book. Yeah. Also, we got RK popping in from the Broncos.
Losingsburg.
Normally, I'm not Harrison, so what does that make me tonight?
Losingsburg.
I'm not Adam. Not Adam Vogt.
I don't know. We're going to see if RK can, if he's got a full show in him tonight, because usually he subs out for me.
It's true. You know, these late starts, I can only give a few minutes.
Does he have a full 60 minutes in him?
Yeah, I'm like Boban, you know. I'm great yourself for a few minutes, but I can only go so long.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll find out. So, yeah, guys, I mean, a lot to get into tonight. Like I was saying, Nuggets dominated the first half tonight. They outscored the Nets 35-27 in the first quarter, 35-27 in the second quarter, and then got outscored 36-20 in the third, where the game kind of flipped. I don't know who wants to go first here, but, I mean, what happened? What happened in that third quarter that kind of killed the momentum?
I'll tell you what happened. They could not miss a three-point shot. Like, I live my life on my sleeve emotionally. I'm not even that mad, honestly, at this game, because it was just like they were something like 8 of 11.
They hit 11 threes in the second half.
Yeah, like in that third quarter specifically. It's like it wasn't even something the Nuggets, they didn't like fall back and just allow them. Like the Nets just hit every GD3. Like it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones where a part of you wants to tip your cap and say like, oh, if you shoot like that, it's going to happen. But you're up 18 at one point, I believe. Like, you have to find a way to close that out. You know, I think my main takeaway was the Nuggets didn't go to Jokic in the post enough in important moments. Yeah. To me, that should be such a no-brainer.
I know.
It's like, okay, we need a bucket here. Or, okay, you know, it's down the stretch. We want to close here. Like, let's make sure we get Jokic a post touch on every one of these possessions. And they kind of got away from that. And that, to me, was the most frustrating part of this finish, is not enough Jokic post touches late in the game.
My takeaway would be both sides. That was a very fun game. Like, everything about that was fun.
It was a fun
game. Brooklyn could not miss anything. And on top of them not missing anything, it was like the same five guys for Brooklyn. It wasn't like everybody was like chipping in. It was the same guys. But then back to RK's point, what worked for the Nuggets in the first half, they just went away from. They didn't do it. And it was like they were just trying to match the offense from Brooklyn. And you're not going to match the offense from Brooklyn when they're going to give it to their best player and he's showing up. And then the Nuggets are going away from their best player. And then on top of that, the highest paid player is not making as many shots as he normally would. So I think that it was a mixture of both for my takeaway.
Can we also talk about, like, that unbelievably garbage foul on Will Barton at a very high leverage point in the game that they reviewed? And I love the fact that the NBA has instituted the replay just so that they can say that they do it. So they can go back and look and be like, wow, that's definitely not a foul, but we're certainly not going to overturn it, because, like, why would we do that? I don't know. It's so frustrating, but
it's such a lame call in that moment.
In that, it's unconscionable.
It didn't impact the play at all. It didn't stop their ability to get over there on defense. It was just like a ticky tack. Maybe he leaned in a little bit. It's so lame.
Yeah, it sucks that we've talked about the officiating so much this year. I feel like we've talked about it more at the beginning of this year than a lot of years. But to you guys' points, like, I feel like a trend for this team, really, in the Jokic era is, like, when they're clicking on offense, when it's, you know, the beautiful offense that we know they can run around Jokic, and that's what was going on in the first half, that's when they really dig in on defense, I feel like. When everything's going for them, when they're in a rhythm offensively, they buy in on the defensive end. And I agree with you guys, like, in that third quarter, for some reason, what was working for them in the first half, they went away from that completely. And it kind of boiled over into a very crucial possession late in the fourth quarter where Nikola Jokic was standing out at the top of the arc at the three-point line with Joe Harris on him for the entire second half of the shot clock. And the Nuggets are just fooling around with the ball on the other wing, and moving, they don't even sideways. Look his way.
Yeah,
and it's like, at that point, that ball's got to go to him, because look what happened in the first half.
And with that play, that was the last play for Jamal Murray to get up a very, very contested shot. But it was him and Will Barton both just holding the ball. And it was really shocking to me as far as Jokic not getting the ball late in the game, because this was a game, for whatever reason, Nikola Jokic goes into games, and if there's a guy that is considered the defender, he goes after him early, especially if they're a big man that's considered the defender. He goes after him, he attacks him really early, and in this game, he found success in the first half. Yeah. So you would assume that if a guy is hot and he's aggressive, and especially a player like Jokic, who's a pass first all-star, he's going after his guy. You just got to give him the ball and see how many he can put up that night. But they kind of just went away from it in the second half, and that has to be the story.
But then there were, like, what, two or three straight possessions late in the fourth where he did get the ball.
Yeah.
And he cooked. Post.
And he was cooking. It was baby food. Baby food at that point.
Although he did miss a couple easy ones, too. Jokic faded a little bit also. Like, he wasn't as aggressive as he needed to be. Like,
well, and that possession where Joe Harris is defending him, you can be mad at everyone there, right? Like, Jokic has to demand that ball.
Yeah.
At the same time, Will and Jamal, who are, like, passing the ball back and forth over there, need to realize what the matchup is and throw him the ball and tell him to go. But that's kind of like a microcosm of that entire second half, where it's just like, someone needs to say, like, give the ball to Jokic in the post and get the hell out of the way.
Although I have to say, just, like, overall, like, I have never in my life seen the Nuggets have a success. This road trip is never successful for the Denver Nuggets. They never win in Brooklyn.
It's a tough road trip, man.
They never
win
in Brooklyn.
No matter how bad the Knicks are, it's a tough road trip.
Yo, going to the Eastern Sea, like, it's just, like, taxing on them. This is always a disastrous road trip for the Denver Nuggets, and they've actually looked really good. Like, considering the fact, if you take into consideration the history, like, you can see them turning it around. Like, the bench unit is no longer a complete embarrassment. Like, mm-hmm. you can see, so, you know, it's like a long season, so you just have to sort of, like, understand, like, okay, cool. Like, we're stacking, like, small dubs on top of small dubs. Like, you can kind of see it rounding into form. This game is frustrating because they should have won. They were up by 18 points.
Should have won, for sure.
But, like, there were good things in it. It's just, you know.
You can't call this a disastrous road trip.
No, though, not
because
at all.
They went 2-1.
Like, that's what I mean. Like,
although
this is actually,
it was
like,
very difficult, like, I mean, the circumstances is kind of why they went 2-1. But to go 2-1 on that road trip and then head back to Denver, that has to be like at least some positive. And like you said, the bench is starting to round out, and that has to be a key point in the game just because of how they started and with the Bobo situation.
Yeah,
yeah. What's frustrating is like it's 2-1. You'll take it. You know there were circumstances involved. If it's 3-0 with a win over Brooklyn and Kevin Durant, you're just feeling great. You're like, okay, they're 6-5. Like, everyone can breathe now.
Yeah, yeah. I was living my best life in the first half.
You this really
was
were.
A really fun game. And to your point, RK, Nuggets are still looking for that first signature victory. They beat a 9-man Houston Rockets team that they should have smashed. They beat the Knicks. They beat the 7-man 76ers. But they still haven't had that one signature victory.
And they haven't really played a four-quarter game other than
the
you
Knicks
know,
game.
Yeah, other than the Knicks game, which
it's like you feel bad saying that's been the Nuggets' only full four-quarter effort because
it barely feels like it counts.
But the Knicks are like not the Knicks this year. They've proven to be like somewhat formidable, or at least like competent.
Yeah, they've been
they've
solid.
Had some good wins.
I think by the end of the season they'll be the Knicks though.
Yeah. That's my prediction.
They're hidden right now. They're the Knicks.
Yeah. Let's talk about Jokic's game a little more. Because Kale, if you got the graphic there, he balled out for most of this game tonight. He's our DraftKings king of the game. 23 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, 7 steals. A career high 7 steals, and this was evident from the opening tip. He was locked in defensively, I thought, from the get-go. 3 steals in the first quarter, I believe, and just getting so many deflections, getting his hands on everything. Did Jared Allen beat him in, like, a League of Legends game last night on Twitch or something that we missed? Because he was locked in.
He was locked in, and we know he has amazing hands, you know. But they were so active tonight. It was really great to see. I mean, it showed that he has another layer of his defensive prowess that he can add to this. You know, he's so long and lanky. And like I said, his hands are so good that he can get in those passing lanes. And he can do this more often. Now, 7 steals is a lot. We were on quad-double alert
quad-double.
At one point. But that was extremely impressive to me to just see how good he is at taking away. You know, they go pick and roll and he's hedging back and he's able to get his hand on that. Like, that was awesome.
A lot of times Jokic is called out for his defense, but he's been improving as a defender. He was very active tonight in the passing lanes. He also is just switching on to Durant. There was a lot of times that he was on Durant. And, you know, usually you're just going to say, with anybody with Durant, you're like, oh, it's ISO with the player that really should not be guarding him. And he would disrupt Durant. He would push it out of bounds. He had that. He's getting out and everything. But the thing that's really shocking to me for how active he was in the first half with the steals is they didn't have any fast break points. Like, how do you have all of these steals and zero fast break points? Like, are they setting up after? I'm like trying to think about how that came into play. Yeah.
That's interesting because we know a point of emphasis the Nuggets wanted to make this year was to play faster, get up and down more. They're still like a bottom 5 team in pace on the season, so nothing's really changed much there.
I love when people like when a team states how they're gonna play.
Every team in the league before every season, we're gonna shoot more threes, we're gonna play faster, and then you know some teams do it.
And how do you like? How are you not a good team in pace, but you have one of the most ridiculous offenses in the NBA? That correlation is awkward.
Jokic.
Also,
yeah.
Oh, just yeah. Jokic. That's the answer.
If we would just want to talk about some of these other starters' games tonight, Jamal Murray, 20 points, 9 of 20 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, 4 assists, 3 turnovers. Wasn't impressive tonight, I thought. And he's had a few quiet games in a row right now. We've talked about this a lot on these post-game shows. Like, if we're worried about him at all, he's played a lot of minutes early on this season. Not that many in these last two games, so I don't think that's really an excuse for him tonight. I think Scott Hastings said on the broadcast there was at one point he was holding his hamstring a little bit. seems like he was a little limited.
Yeah, they were talking about his elbow also.
Yeah, I mean, he had that elbow contusion earlier in the year. I mean, what do we think about Jamal and what he did tonight?
I mean, I don't want to be completely negative on Jamal because there was a few positives. He almost got D-line's assist over. Like, that tells that he's being a little bit more active. But also,
he did though.
The best he got it.
30?
He got the under.
Oh, yeah. So I was like, he's close. But also, the big thing is he led the team in shot attempts tonight. Like, that's very different.
That's very for Jamal,
because he has not been shooting the ball a lot lately. It still doesn't look like he has his legs under him as far as creating any type of space. For his shots, like, his makes were very, very tough makes. But at least he's getting into a rhythm, like, mentally. Like, I'm going to take the shots. He had 20 shots tonight. You don't think about that.
Yeah, it's true. He had a very unimpressive, very quiet first half. And then he had like a stint where he like really came to life, where I was like, oh, look, there's Jamal Murray, where he actually had, he strung together some makes.
He strung together a couple really tough makes.
And then he started to look like, and I think Chris Marlowe said it, like, Jamal Murray has not been playing with passion. And like, you started to see a little passion come into his shots, where you saw energy behind it. It wasn't just like, you know, he was open, so he just kind of shot it. Like, he's still passing up incredibly easy and like super wide open threes, which is very not encouraging. But I mean, like, you know, we're building.
It's these little spurts that make you think, oh, here he comes.
Yep.
And it just keeps being the little spurts. Like, I feel like we're not getting Jamal Murray. We're getting Jamal Murray total landscaping. It's almost there. You know, I think I said it after he made two in a row. I'm like, he's back. And like, I've said that like 12 times this year, where he hits two in a row and it's like, oh, here it comes. And then like, he missed like two free throws in a row.
He's done that a couple times.
What's going on here? Like, I don't know. He just looks tired and half there.
Yeah. And speaking of just like things that are not Jamal, like, again, he's not getting to the free throw line.
Right.
He got there those two times, or the one time, and he missed both free throws. And also, his aggression is just not there. He did not get a rebound in the game. Not one. Like, not one.
Wow.
Like, and that's a person that kind of at least hunts for a few of them just to get himself going, and it's just not the same. So I don't know what's going on with Jamal, but you can't say that he's not injured or something. Something's going on with him.
He looked a little banged up tonight. He didn't look like he had the burst that we know he could have, or that, like, he showed in the playoffs last season. So he was great in parts tonight. I'm actually surprised that he finished up like 9 of 20, because what was he in the first half? He wasn't putting it home in the first half. So
he was 9.
The other big storyline tonight, I guess two other big storylines. I thought Will Barton played really well for most of this one. And then Bol Bol getting the nod. I was stunned that Bol got the start tonight. Michael Malone is got to be one of the more pragmatic coaches in the league, I think, when it comes to his starting lineups, especially when a team is winning. He's not one to really switch it up drastically. Bol Bol starting tonight might be the most surprising lineup decisions I can ever remember from the Nuggets in like the last 5 years.
What I thought happened was, you know, he had just been talking about how he felt like the bench unit was starting to come together.
Yeah.
And the last thing he wanted to do was to pull it apart. And so he thought, you know, his plan was, okay, let's keep that all together and then make Bol Bol the head coach. It's kind of like how when the Browns lost their head coach this last week, they made their special teams coordinator the head coach, because it's like, okay, well, let's not mess with the offense. Let's not mess with the defense. We'll pull from the special teams. That's kind of what I felt like was the decision there. And to me, that makes sense. And again, the bench unit was definitely better tonight than they were in the early goings of the season.
Yeah, you have to agree with that. You just have to assume that Malone wants to keep that exact unit together, especially with the hockey lineups. But even with Bol Bol, putting him in the lineup, that was, I mean, as shocked as you were, you cover the team. Think about how shocked Steve Nash was and Brooklyn was to walk out there and
see how shocked Kevin Durant was.
Kevin Durant's like, you're going to put Bol Bol on me?
And
even to start out the game, they try to get Bol Bol into foul trouble.
Why didn't we get more Bol?
I think it was just a little bit awkward for Bol. It kind of threw him off. I mean, Bol still is lost on offense. He has no idea where he's supposed to be, but he was also fun when he got the ball. He made a three-pointer.
Two of three.
He made a turnaround shot. He's going to do his travel, just get it out of the way early. But he also just gave Kevin Durant so many different looks. And there was a time that Durant was not scoring. Yeah, he was not shooting the ball because it was just so much going on for him, I think.
Yeah. I loved it because I agree with you guys' points. I think the main idea, and I think we're going to hear from Brendan, who's on the Zoom calls with Michael Malone and Nuggets players right now. But I've got to think a big reason behind it was to keep that bench unit together. And those guys, for the first time all season, have strung together four really solid games in a row, that bench unit. So I've got to think that was the reason. He just wanted to keep Monte Morris, Facu Campazzo, Jamichael Green, Isaiah Hartenstein, and PJ Dozier together.
There's some fairly unreasonable comments happening.
Let's hear them. Let's hear them.
Well, apparently, if this continues, Jokic is gone next season, regardless of the fact that he's under contract for 4 years.
Where is he going?
I don't know. I don't know how he's going to finagle.
If what continues?
I don't know. We need a follow-up, Muddy Water.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll talk about talk about Barton in the stock report coming up in segment. The stonk report. Let's hit a break real quick though. First, check out the juice drop from Breck Brew, one of the latest beers that to come out of Breck Brew.
Superb. What you feel about the juice drop?
I'm a big juice drop fan, honestly. I was never a big IPA guy.
No.
But the juice drop doesn't have that, like, some IPAs get like weird like soap flavors or
soap flavor.
There's like some gross stuff in an IPA. This one's super smooth. The citrus really comes through. It like when you think juice, you think like this is really easy to drink.
Yeah,
juice drop. There you go.
You heard it here.
Drop it like it's juice.
Drop it like it's juice. Pick it up from Breck Brew. You can get it at the farmhouse, your local liquor store. Wherever they sell Breck Brew. Also, MSU Denver Online, I believe open enrollment, or you can probably still register for classes for the spring semester and for summer, obviously, at MSU Denver Online. Check out their entire course list, msudenver.edu/online. Awesome teachers who have been teaching classes online forever. So a lot of us, look, we can't go to classes in person now. We've got to do it online. MSU Denver Online's been doing it forever. So check out their entire course list, msudenver.edu/online. Awesome teachers. And a lot of the content you learn in classes at MSU Denver Online, you can use outside the classroom as well. So make sure to check out their class list, msudenver.edu/online. All right, we ready for a little stonk report? Stonk report action here.
It's that time for some stonks. We did a full stonk report a few days ago, and we were not very accurate in our.
I was gonna say someone needs to track like your guys' accounts or the people who are buying and like who's the day trader of the week.
Yeah,
I'll buy anything with Monopoly money. I can do whatever I want.
Devin and Eric are in the red right now for this.
You guys need to create like an actual stock exchange. You got to put real money on this.
No. Stocks, you have to wait and see. You have to calm down. Like, we don't know if we're wrong yet. It's still early.
Yeah, it's true.
Dev's got strong hands. He's making money hand over fist on Bitcoin.
All right, guys, let's remind the people what our rating is.
Yeah.
Okay, our rating system. Sell.
Yes.
Wait and see. Yep. Wait and see. That's probably the most popular stonk.
Buy
now. And we've also got
Let's go!
All right, so I'm going to start out with Will Barton.
Oh.
Will Barton tonight. Maybe, I don't know, I thought.
Yo, did we rob Will Barton for King of the Game?
Oh. He was making a strong play for King of the Game, for sure.
No. Jokic had career-high 7 steals.
Yeah. Jokic King of the Game.
So the answer is no, fine. It's just a question. Jesus.
But we think that Will Barton played well tonight.
No. Will Barton, 22 points, 8 of 14 shooting, 6 of 8 from 3. 3 steals, 2 rebounds. D-line, what are you doing?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy now with Will Barton. To Will Barton. This is the Will Barton that we saw in the preseason. This is a confident Will Barton. We've seen this in the past. Like, this is people's champ, baby. You don't get a nickname unless you're a good player in this league. Like, nobody's going out there giving terrible players nicknames. And Will Barton has, like, 7 nicknames. Buy now, baby.
Buy now. Dev?
Well, I think he's lying about the nickname thing.
Well, who's a bad player?
I know
with
there
nickname?
Was a nickname game. Everybody had a nickname. There was nicknames that we just don't even know.
Who in the NBA is a terrible player that has a nickname?
I'll think about it in a second.
Think about that.
I'll think about it in a second. Heart.
We gave him that nickname. We gave everyone a nickname. But I mean, like, people's champ?
Back to Will Barton. I'm gonna buy some stock.
Let's go.
Okay.
The reason that I'm going to buy some stock, not because I'm following D-Line, because I see that that's not a good decision. I'm going to buy stock because Will Barton is a player that he himself said that it's going to take some time for him to get right. And we're starting to see him slowly get back to himself. Tonight was a game that the shot was falling. He's staying aggressive. We already know, regardless, Barton is going to shoot the ball. Like, it does not matter. He is going to get his shots up, whether he's hurt or not. He's going to get some shots up. Tonight they're falling. He's starting to get into a rhythm. He's starting to be aggressive. And he looks good with the starters. Like, Barton has been a player that fits well alongside other players. I'm not sure about him and Jamal Murray just yet, but you can see that things are starting to come together for him, so I'm going to buy.
Okay. I got to wait and see. I got to wait and see. You know, you look at his lines recently. It's 20 points, 8 points, 14 points, 5 points, 22 points. It's just so back and forth. I want to see him do it a couple games in a row before I want to buy. Honestly, at the way this is trending, the move would be to buy after a bad game and then sell after a good game and just keep going, you know, just day trade that.
So what are you doing right now then?
I'm waiting and seeing.
Okay.
He's waiting and seeing. I'm also waiting and seeing. And here's what stands out about Will Barton's line tonight. He was 6 of 8 from 3, but he was just 8 of 14 from the field. So he wasn't good from 2-point range tonight. And like he's done a lot this season, he missed a lot around the rim tonight. He had a bunch of drives that he could not convert. And, like, that's a huge part of his game. It's a huge part of his game. So he needs to get that back.
But Will Barton, like, single-handedly brought us back into this game. Like,
oh, he was great tonight.
That's not true. I mean, Will Barton had his best game of the year, for sure, but he had the worst plus-minus on the team today.
Well, I mean, like, when the times were low, when the Nuggets were at their lowest in the third quarter, that's when Will Barton came in and started canning threes, and he brought life back in the Nuggets. Like, they couldn't maintain it, obviously, but, like, Will Barton did that thing that we all chide him for sometimes, where he can be a self-starter, and, like, if he's hitting buckets, it's great. Like, because there's, you know, especially when you have a bench, people standing around, nobody's doing anything. Like, you have to have a guy that can just ignite the offense. And he was up for it, and he did it. And then, I mean, obviously he didn't hold on. But still, yeah. I mean, that's
there
something.
Were a couple loud moments in the fourth, I felt like, with Barton. And like we were talking about earlier, just the offensive flow that the Nuggets had in the first half was just not there. It just wasn't there. Let's go to Bull. Let's go to Bull Bull. First start of the season. He gets that first start of the season defending Kevin Durant, who, I gotta say, Kevin Durant had 9 shots in the first half. I thought Bull did a decent job defending him. It seemed like Durant was a little bit thrown off by just a 7'2" wing defending him. I don't know. Maybe there's a little something there. Are you buying Bull stock right now?
Well, we have to set the stage here a little bit. I earlier asked whether the stock of the company Enron or the stock of Bull Bull fell harder, faster earlier in the season. So starting from that point, at the Enron point, like, let's buy. Let's get back to zero.
Right. Your stock was in negative.
I mean, I think his can't stock, be a better time to buy
I think
that.
His stock was like...
Dev sold inexistent Gary Harris. The rules are off the table.
Yeah, like, Bull stock was, like, under investigation by the SEC. And, like, now it's, like, a viable stock again. It's a penny stock, but you can buy it.
My question on Bull and his stock is, how long is Gary going to be out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you tell me he might be out a couple games, well, then I want to buy. Because I think, you know, Bull could get some more looks, some more time, and he could stay with that starting unit. If you're telling me Gary will just be back next game, then I'm... wait and see or sell, you know. It's he wasn't playing at all, so right. If he's gonna get a little bit of time with the starters and have a chance to prove himself a little bit and maybe learn on the fly a little bit, well, I want to buy that. But I don't know what the deal is with Gary. I don't know why he missed tonight, so I guess I'm once again waiting and see.
We don't really know what's up with Gary. Al, for personal reasons, it's not COVID related, it seems like, but I asked Michael Malone about it pregame. He wouldn't really elaborate, so we'll see. We'll see if he's back in the lineup. But Dev, what are you doing?
I don't think that there's anything that you can buy. Yeah. I'm not going to buy. But also, I don't believe that there's anything that you can sell at the same time.
He's
so
stonkless?
I'm stuck with the wait and see. We don't know. If Gary Harris comes back, Bobo's going to have six straight DMPs. We just don't know.
In my mind, buying is like acknowledging that he's an NBA player, which is before it was like kind of off the table.
How do we know?
Tonight he looked like an NBA player. Like, he hit a three. He hit an unbelievably gorgeous two. He somewhat befuddled Kevin Durant, sort of.
I mean, and the great thing is, the only way that Bobo can get better is by playing. Experience is the best teacher. It's the best teacher, and that's the only way that Bobo's going to get better. And this is against one of the best players in the world. Like, he's a top scorer of all time, like, up there. And Bobo, like, got on him, and he was defending him, and he had the trust to defend him. So I'm still going to wait and see.
Yeah. You got to wait and see. And look, the thing about Bol, and you guys said this, when Gary Harris comes back, Bol is the Nuggets' 11th guy, right? Like, he is clearly the 11th guy. They have their five starters, and we know what the five-man bench is right now. Bol is clearly the 11th guy, so on a normal night, he's probably not playing. What stood out to me also about his night tonight, he hit a three in the first quarter, I believe. Seemed like he was pretty aggressive, and then turned down that shot at the beginning of the third, that three in the corner, committed the travel, and that was really like where his night ended. And it's funny because I had actually heard throughout training camp, and Bull even said this, but coaches were actually trying to get him to be more selfish just on the practice court and in scrimmages. They're trying to get him to shoot more. It seems like he's kind of an unselfish guy by his nature, and it seemed like him passing up that three and turning the ball over was like the nail in the coffin for his night.
That was how his night started and how it ended.
Yeah.
And someone's just got to tell him, like, dude, no closeout can close you out. Just shoot when you're open. Unclose-outable.
Yeah. Let's go to another guy who quietly, and this is like par for the course because I think under the radar he's having an unbelievable season, Monte Morris. 24 minutes, 6-7 from the floor, 2-3 from three, 14 points. I mean, I've been saying he's having an under the radar, like, unbelievable season. It seems like he's talking to the media as we speak right now. But, I mean, D-Line, are you buying now? Are you
very
still
simple.
Buying Monte's
very
stock?
Very simple, very simple. Monmo, let's go, baby. Let's do this. I'm so in on Monte Morris. He's like he's just a calming, what am I trying to say here?
Presence.
A calming presence in a rough sea of bench like confusion. Like, you just can always count on him to sort of like just right the ship. Like, we're down three. What does he do? He like comes up. He just jacks up a three, hits it. Like, he just always makes the right play. I just love Monte Morris.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I'm fully in. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
Like, the Nuggets, you know, getting him to that extension feels really good right now. I think the calming force, calming presence is exactly the perfect way to describe him. You know, there was a couple of trips, I think it was in the third, when the starters weren't out there, and I looked at Eric and I was like, who do you turn to here? And he's like, Monte.
Yeah.
And right after that, Monte got a bucket. And then late, as the clock was expiring, I'm like, who do you want taking the shot? He's like, Monte. Monte hit a buzzer beater. It's like, he's just that guy where sometimes you look out there and you're like, this lineup doesn't really have a scorer.
Right.
And then he goes and gets you a bucket.
Yeah. Dev?
I'm gonna be all in on Monte. Like,
let's go.
Let's go on Monte. And the reason for that is because he's Monte.
Yeah.
We already know. Like, I've already said
that. That's a great point. He's Monte.
There's a small highlight that just follows. It's a light that follows Monte only. Yeah, he's been so great off of the bench. He's the bright spot.
Monster.
He's the bright spot on there. And I mean, we don't even remember the last time he turned the ball over. He's just out there doing exactly what he needs to do. He's hitting shots. Like, that's one of his downfalls is the shot making. But he's making shots. He's passing the ball and getting everybody into their sets. And he's doing this without other players on the bench scoring a lot of points. So it's a player that's taking care of the ball and he's getting assists with people that's not scoring right now. Like, Monte's amazing.
Yeah, I'm in the let's go territory for Monte as well. You guys want to know when his last turnover was?
I don't feel like he ever had one. Like, I feel like
he's got three turnovers on the season. His last turnover came on January 1st against the Phoenix Suns. That was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games ago. He hasn't turned the ball over in his last six games.
This should be like a national story.
Yeah. Well, no, we were talking about on the last post-game show, Altitude TV threw the graphic up. He's got like an 11-1 assist to turnover ratio. That which obviously leads the NBA. Devontae Graham is second at like 6.5-1.
And he can't turn the ball over because he's going to shoot it every time.
He just shoots it every time.
Yeah, of course he doesn't turn the ball over.
Hold on. Does Bol Bol have more turnovers during that time than Monte Morris?
What? Today.
Bol had two turnovers today.
Yeah, exponentially more.
It's wild.
And how many like more minutes is that? Like that's the incredible part.
That's a literally incalculable amount.
Yeah. Monte is so solid. And I even feel like a little bit tonight we saw, and we've been seeing this, just what the Nuggets envision their bench would look like with Monte and Faku side by side. Just kind of the randomness that creates on offense. If you're a defense, you don't like know who's going to bring the ball up. You don't know who's going to initiate the offense. Everybody's playing super unselfish. I feel like we saw some of that tonight because the bench was pretty solid. But I feel like we're seeing what the Nuggets envisioned as their bench come to life a little bit. I feel like I'm talking about this game like the Nuggets won it because
yeah, I know.
In a lot of aspects they played well, but of course they lost. Let's go to Faku. Are you buying Faku stock right now, Eric?
Faku stock is a very mercurial stock indeed. I don't know. Like I feel like I jump on either side of the Faku line quite a bit. Like sometimes he looks very out of place in the NBA, and then other times it's like, oh right, yeah, that makes sense. And so I think in the end I have to be wait and see with Faku. I don't know what else to do.
Like, I think that's fair.
I like all of my heart wants Faku, like the Faku story, to be that, like, it's just such a beautiful, like, Air Bud like story. It's just like just an outsider comes in and, like, you know, does the unthinkable, and like nobody believed in him, and sometimes you see moments of that, and other times it's like, oh, that's like a really little guy playing amongst really other big guys. So I just got to wait and see. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you have to wait and see, but I'm encouraged by how he's slowly but surely starting to kind of understand his role and fit in a little more. There are times where he takes shots where it's like, oh, you're not the star of this team anymore. Like, you can't do
that. He took 1-3 tonight. That was like a fadeaway from the corner mid-shot clock.
It was one of the ones, too, that you knew it wasn't going in the second it left his hand.
Faku shoots as many threes as he does.
No. Well, he's always open.
He's making them, too.
I guess so. It's just like, I don't view him as a three-point shooter, but like somehow he's like always shooting threes.
I don't know.
I guess that makes him a three-point shooter.
Yeah, and he shot pretty well, I believe. Yeah.
No, he's shot it well as of late. Definitely.
So I'm in wait and see. I'm a lot more encouraged than I was at the very start of things, less encouraged than I was during the preseason. Yeah. You know, during the preseason, it was like, oh, okay, this is special. I think it's a something where he's slowly but surely learning his role, and I think by the end of the season, he could really have it.
Mm-hmm.
While you guys are all selling, I am buying.
Hold on. I was waiting.
Okay. We're all waiting and seeing.
Well, you guys are waiting and watching. I'm buying Faku stock.
Unbelievable.
The reason that I'm buying Faku stock is because
Faku Staku.
He comes in there and he does exactly what he's supposed to do every single game. If he didn't get hit below the belt today, he would have had a pretty good game. But also, the thing is, we've been saying how the bench is up and down and up and down, right? Like, everybody's been talking about that. There's been one constant, and that's Faku. He hasn't had one game that he has had a plus-minus that's under. Like, he hasn't had a negative plus-minus at all. Every single game, he's enlightening the bench. Like, everything is going. He keeps everything up. He's a flow, just like Monte Morris is a flow off of the bench.
Yeah.
I'm buying.
I'm going to buy, too. I'm also going to buy Faku stock. He just looks so much more settled now
than
he looked in the first couple games of the season. And I don't want to like try to boil it down to something that's too simple, but he just probably needed some time to get acclimated and get comfortable to an entirely new league, an entirely new team. And the game looks like it's slowed down a bit for him right now.
Yeah, I have to say, he's like, now every time he's coming to the court now, like now he has very visibly combed hair, which earlier on he
he's figured out
head.
The hair.
He had bedhead every time he took the court. So I think there's something to what you're saying. I think he's become more composed.
How do we fix that with Jokic?
We cut Jokic's hair.
Well, okay. People could recognize Jokic. Nobody knows who Faku is. He puts the hair down, and now we know who Faku is.
Is that it?
Yeah, it's like Superman. It's like reverse Superman.
I thought there was glasses, but you're saying it's a forward-facing hairstyle.
He doesn't wear glasses.
Who had the theory in here tonight that Yoke is growing the hair out?
Me.
That's a hell of a, like, is he go? What if he, like, goes, like, comb-over style?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Like,
I mean, do we...
Side part fade?
I was trying to envision the whole time with if Jokic had, like, if he hits, like, Joe Harris length hair.
Oh, God.
If he's got a headband, it's flowing. Like, what if he goes Jared Bednar on us?
I think he would more likely go, like, Luka Doncic.
Oh, like, he would have, like a flippant little...
Yeah.
like a boyish... flow.
Right, right.
I think Jokic is due for a cut.
Yo, dude, that we need.
He's
we need,
well past due for a cut.
I think his wife cuts his hair.
Probably
gets a haircut by his wife.
We need haircut. Well,
what's
Jokic.
She doing?
Destro needs to be
not with her right now.
I'm just saying, Nuggets coming back from a 3-game-long road trip. They got the Warriors at home.
Mm.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a buzz cut Jokic.
Whoa, get out
I
your
wouldn't
draft
be
Kings
surprised. It's a national TV game, TNT against the Warriors on Thursday. Just saying, I wouldn't
what
be surprised.
What could go wrong?
Let's continue with the bench with this stonk report. Hard Rock, Isaiah Hartenstein. Hartenstein. I don't even know.
Well, I'm on. Yeah.
Thank you, Kel.
I'm on pretty public record saying he's going to be our best addition to this team this year.
You are on record.
What?
So coming from that particular standpoint, I'm gonna be selling. He is like, there are things he does really well. Like when he's imposing, like he will have really loud blocks. He will have good positioning. He'll make great rebounds. And then he'll just make very confusing decisions a lot. And he'll make...
Sounds like the guy he replaced.
Yeah, I know. Like, I mean, we all kind of felt like he was going to be a just one-to-one Plumlee replacement. And he's, like, clearly a downgrade from Plumlee, unfortunately. That's not to say that he can't, like, get to Plumlee status, which is, like, a very sad ceiling. But, you know, that's kind of where we are with him. I mean, I still see it. Like, every now and again, he'll have, like, some impressive finishes around the rim. But right now, he just doesn't have it.
This will be my hottest take so far, I think. I'm buying.
Oh!
Okay.
I'm buying. I'm starting to see him fit in a little better. He's building that chemistry with Monte on the pick and roll, catching a couple of those lobs. He had a couple awesome blocks tonight. If they won, he might have had the play of the game, which was the tip out to
Jermichael Green. The tip out was great.
Which really was like that. The Nuggets were struggling at that point. They needed a bucket. They had another ugly shot, and he tipped it out. You know, he's not Plumlee right now, but I think he's climbing the proverbial plum tree.
That's what I mean. Like, isn't it sad that that's the ceiling we've assigned to Isaiah Hartenstein?
Yes.
No.
No. Okay. Well, okay.
Deb, are you buying or selling?
I'm buying.
Okay.
All right.
I actually had to wipe my glasses today because I thought that it was Plumlee out there.
You did.
I did. He played 11 minutes. He had 4 assists in 11 minutes, which is a Plumlee-like game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing he was missing was the backwards dunk. I mean, he scored. He had the blocks. Like, Hartenstein
the
is
frustrating misses around the rim.
Definitely.
Exactly. Hartenstein is amazing as a help side defender. Like, those blocks, he has one every single game where a guard has no idea. Like, they have to, like, do a euro or something to get by, and he's at the rim, and he's going to protect it. He's getting those blocks. He's great alongside Faku. They play them the exact same minutes every single game for whatever reason. I mean, it makes sense. He looks like Mason Plumlee out there.
Also, he has an imprint of Joe Harris's face on his chest.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe, he handed that guy today.
If the tap out was his best player of the night, the poster on Joe Harris was his second best, a close second. and I felt my soul leave my body.
When he dunked
Joe Harris almost had to retire from the league.
When he dunked on him, I slowly looked at Harrison. Like, I just like looked over
the whole room.
You guys are wondering if I was still going to host this show tonight, probably.
I was like, who are you going for? He looks so sad. He looked worse than you tonight, D-Line. Yeah. You were giggles today. Harrison looks super sad after that play. Yeah.
My guy, Joe Harris, definitely has to cut his hair and avoid getting in posters. I'm also buying with Hard Rock.
Yes.
Whoa. I'm also buying. And honestly, the main reason I'm buying is because it seems like the Nuggets have committed to playing him more. Because he's a firm part of that five-man bench lineup. And I did think it was notable today because the Nets played some small ball in their second unit. They had Jeff Green in there at the five for times. And the Nuggets were like, fine, we're still going to play Jamichael Green and Hartenstein together at the 4-5. We don't care about your small ball look. We're still going to play with our five main bench unit guys. And I thought that was notable. So I think he's going to continue to get around 10 minutes per game. Two fouls tonight in 11 minutes. I think that's big progress.
What? That's the only – we don't know if he could play more minutes. Maybe Malone wants to play more minutes, but he never gets the chance. He never gets the chance to play more minutes.
Yeah, the reason he's not able to play more minutes is because of the rules of the game.
His fouls to minutes ratio might be crazier than Monte's assist to turnover ratio.
Probably Bobo's travel ratio.
For sure.
About the same.
For sure. Let's go to – let's go to Paul Millsap. Let's go to Paul Millsap. Only 22 minutes for Paul Millsap tonight. 10 points, 4 rebounds. Did not close this game, I don't believe. What are you thinking on Paul?
Paul Millsap has become the starter by name player. Technically a starter in that he is on the floor when the game begins. But then, he plays and then, you get a couple interesting little series is out of him, and then you just never see him again, which is not encouraging. I'm starting to wonder if, as the season wears on, and we've seen this the last several years with Paul, he's, approaching my age, which is you can't play at a high level for this amount of, years in the NBA and allowed and just stay at that level. So I'm wondering if somewhere down the line we don't get Zeke to slide in a little bit to pick up, Green to slide in to take Millsap minutes, and then Zeke to slide in behind him. Millsap is just another player you can rely upon because he's a cerebral player and he doesn't make mistakes. It's just his body is betraying him at the moment. And so, from that standpoint, you don't want to sell, but you don't want to buy. So I guess it's wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, wait and see.
But I mean, we're waiting and seeing, but I know what's coming, and it's not any better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to sell. Defenses have kind of changed up the way they're playing the Nuggets. Early in the season when he could just cut from any spot and Jokic knew exactly where he was and he's just getting all these layups one after another, it was like, wow, this is amazing. He was able to use that cerebral part of his game to just get to all these open spots on the floor. Now defenses are saying okay, take away the passing lanes, don't allow cutters, make them shoot, and he can shoot. But it's taking away a lot of his effectiveness because he was just so good at getting to spots where he knew Jokic was going to look. So I think, just the way that defenses are approaching the Nuggets right now isn't exactly beneficial to Paul Millsap and his role on the team. So I got to sell.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait and see, but I want to sell. And the only reason I want to sell, I don't often talk about Malone's decision making or anything of that nature, just because a lot of it makes sense and there's things that you don't see. But tonight, this was a perfect Paul Millsap game. He did not miss a shot. He grabbed 4 rebounds.
Yep. He hit the over on his 3-pointers at DraftKings Sportsbook.
And he was the only starter to not finish in the negatives and plus minus.
And then set the bench. So, if he's not hurt, what went wrong? Because there was a stretch. He did hit his 2 threes. And then you get put out of the game after that. That's a bit shocking to me. And then also, they went to Jamichael, which Jamichael had a pretty good game.
Yeah.
But Paul Millsap was perfect on the day and not getting attacked on defense. So what was it?
Yeah, I just think overall his defense hasn't been as impactful this season as it's been in years past. That's probably my biggest takeaway from him this season. So I'm waiting and seeing as well. And like you were saying, Dev, Jamichael Green had a good game today. He didn't have an unbelievable game. overall, he's been outplaying Paul Millsap this season, in my opinion. With how good the bench is, I don't know if that means that he's going to like supplant Millsap in the starting lineup, but I think it might be something to watch. All right, so let's hit another break. I believe we've got Brendan Vogt coming in on the other side, the Nuggets Zoom conferences. He spoke with Mike Malone and some players as well, so we'll get to him in 1 second. First, though, make sure to check out Strava Craft Coffee, packed with CBD, which has been known to help cure long-term migraines, back pain, arthritis, IBS, tons of other stuff as well. You guys can get 20% off with the code DNVR20, 20% off a subscription to Strava Craft Coffee. Get your coffee every 2, 3, 4, 6, or 8 weeks, and 20% off any product you are subscribing to.
We've been known to come up with our own slogans. Honking like a goose is like by far the best one.
It's incredible.
Ever had.
Yeah.
I just say it like as a part of my daily life.
I'm
now.
Surprised Strava hasn't tried to trademark it from us by now, actually.
Yeah, what the H, Strava? I feel like we have to reintroduce this every about 5 or 6 times we use it because people are like, what?
Brendan it just Vogt's, speaks for itself.
You know
though.
What? As soon as we have Vogt coming, we'll let him retell the story.
Okay. Also, guys, while the holiday season may be over, the sports calendar is in full swing this week from collegiate to professional sports. There's no shortage of action, and there is no better place to get in on all this action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook. Tons of player props, tons of game props. I know there was some heavy action going on this panel tonight in this Nuggets-Nets game. D-Line hasn't butted in with how he's done on his bets yet, so I don't...
I bet...
Bad beats.
I had like 8 bets, and I ended up winning
$5. Oh, that's good. That means you won 5. Well,
because I won both of my Harris bets because they were just refunded.
Pushes are wins. I had 2 bad beats. I needed 1 more bucket from Jokic, 1 more bucket from LeVert. LeVert had 20 in like the first 20 minutes of the game and never scored again.
And then he got like overshadowed by Bruce Brown.
Straight disrespectful.
Yeah, Bruce Brown was the closer for the Nets today.
Oh, what?
So, yeah, you know, you win some, you lose some. I had an incredible night last night. I was due to come back to Earth.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any comment?
I got Caris LeVert at 18 and a half.
My God.
Wow. I felt good about
Dev
that.
Dev told me over 20 and a half was the lock of the night.
Listen, I said Caris LeVert over points. Oh, we had 2 different books, so I didn't know.
No,
it was a breakdown in
communication. I took KD over on points,
Kale's telling us to hurry this along. So make sure to download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DNVR when you sign up to get up to 100-1 odds on any football game this weekend. That's code DNVR for new players to get a shot at $100 on any football action this weekend. For a limited time at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Probably just wrap up if Kale's got somewhere to be.
Brendan has been waiting for like almost 10 minutes.
Oh, sorry. Brendan's sitting literally at his house. Apologies, Brendan.
All right, let's bring in the man, the myth, the legend. Brendan Vogt. There he is.
Again, sorry, is this Pat?
We can't hear you, but we can see your face. Okay, I think we can hear you now. How's it going, man?
I'm doing well. Is it okay if I come on the show now? Does that work for you guys?
Yes. You got to ask Kale, dude.
All right, Vogt, give us your one big takeaway from this loss.
Michael Malone's first thoughts, he went to health. Actually, he was asked about the four quarter effort thing, and the first thing he went to was, man, it would be nice if we were healthy. And I know that folks don't want to hear excuses right now about a team that was just in the Western Conference Finals that is blowing a start against a really easy schedule, but it's a reality. The Nuggets haven't been whole all season, not having Jamal for a game, MPG multiple games, Jamichael Green missed multiple games. He's been a big part of what they're doing. Now you're down Gary and MPJ. So, yeah, no Kyrie for Brooklyn. Every team can make excuses. But it's a tough thing to remember about Denver. Like, our expectations right now are so high that we're losing sight on the fact that these are less than ideal circumstances and really suboptimal, actually.
So that's interesting.
I was actually thinking of making that my main takeaway of the game as well, is we keep forgetting that we haven't really seen the Nuggets. Like, the season started, you never had Jermichael Green.
Michael Porter Jr. and Jermichael Green have not played in a game together yet this year.
But the thing about this game tonight is that the Nuggets played so well that your mind didn't go there. Like,
totally.
Though they lost, they played well enough to win. Which is encouraging.
People don't want to hear it either, so I get it. My takeaway in terms of things that actually did happen, things we did see, I thought the bench played well again. Unless I'm blanking on a really poor stint they had, you know, I thought the starters set the tone for that horrid, disastrous third quarter. But I thought the bench was good. I asked Monte Morris if he feels like just that second unit kept the momentum rolling. He seemed to think so. You know, he really thinks they can be one of the best second units in the league. So if you are looking for positives, you know, we could talk about how KD killed them, how they blew it in the third. Everyone saw what happened. But if you're looking for some positives, I thought the bench was pretty good for a third straight game.
Yeah. Did anybody, whether it was Malone or any player, speak to the third quarter and just what kind of went wrong there? Because that seems like really where the game was lost.
Yeah, for Malone, it was defense. Monte Morris put it pretty plainly. He just thought the Nets came out with a sense of urgency. Denver didn't. And I agree. I mean, I thought Denver had them where they wanted them. And if they come out with a modicum of urgency in that third quarter, they could have closed the door. And, yeah, they missed Jeremy Grant. Yeah, Kevin Durant cooked Will Barton down the stretch. But if it's Kevin Durant one-on-one to decide the game, you've messed up, right? If you had an opportunity to prevent that scenario from happening, you're up 20 in the third. You have to shut that door. Because that's just what KD does.
Yeah.
Were there any comments on the offensive foul that they challenged there late in the game?
Nope. No comments about that. I didn't mind that challenge, to be honest. I know Malone's not really great with those. I thought it was worth a try. Could have swung the momentum.
Oh, for sure.
Michael Malone's been hot on challenges, too. He's been hot getting those overturned. On Kevin Durant, I think this is worth talking about a little bit because this was – a read I had, obviously, on this team from opening night when Harrison Barnes had a great game against the Nuggets on opening night. And I was like, maybe this team's just really not going to be able to stop any opposing small forward this entire season. Then on Christmas Day, Kawhi and Paul George have the big games. Kevin Durant, unstoppable tonight when he wanted to be. It's going to be a theme that follows this team throughout the entire season. And honestly, like with the personnel on the Nuggets roster, there's probably not much they can do about it. So it's kind of where they are.
Some folks on Twitter and Discord, Harris, I mean, that's their main takeaway from the game. And they might be right. You might be right. I mean, it's certainly the case that they can't stop anyone out there right now. But just this game in a vacuum, take your drinks. You know, don't think it had anything to do with Jeremy Grant being there or not there. When you're up 20, you got to slam the door. Right. Like, KD's an MVP player, you know, newsflash.
Right. All right. So who else spoke? What else was kind of said that caught your eye postgame?
Well, we talked to Bol. Bol was asked for a positive takeaway from his performance. He was pretty transparent today, Bol, pretty articulate. And he said, the most positive thing for me was playing hard throughout the whole thing. Keep playing through my mistakes. The travel calls, whatever KD was doing to him, he felt like he just stayed focused and played through it. And I agree. I mean, look, that first stint against KD, KD was just feeling things out. And the third quarter, I think, is a little more realistic of what happens when you put Bol on KD. But I thought Bol played pretty well, all things considered. And I just thought that was a good quote to hear from him, to just sort of feel encouraged from that performance. I think it would be easy to sort of get down on yourself, but, you know, he was asked about guarding KD. He's like, hey, he's one of one. How many guys can handle in the pick and roll, shoot off the dribble, drive? So don't run into that very often. And he liked the way he played through it.
Yeah. I saw that coming up in the comments, D-Line. We haven't heard about Greg Whittington tonight. You're slacking over here.
Greg Whittington.
There it is. I always like when Bol talks with the media because he's pretty short, but I always feel like he's pretty transparent and just where his head's at and
I love the idea of
just
Bol
assessing
being short.
His performance. It's the only thing he's short at.
Yeah, Bol's pretty open. I asked him about those passing up on those open shots. You know, when I saw your tweet about how the coaching staff has encouraged him to shoot more, I wanted to try to fit all that nicely into a question. It was admittedly tough to word on the spot. I basically just asked him, you know, if there was any sort of conflict in terms of playing his game versus being out there with the starters, right, and trying to acquiesce to what they do. His answer was he thinks he just needs to slow down. Doesn't have an issue with the pump fakes themselves, just take it slow, take it easy, try to eliminate those travels. Said it's something he's going to work on.
Jokic nearly getting the quadruple double tonight. 3 assists, 2 rebounds away. I'm assuming he spoke after this one. What do you have to say?
He might be speaking right now, fellas. I missed it. I guess that's why Kale was rushing you, D-line. But I don't know if he's on right now, so I didn't get to speak with you. Taking his time these days, you know, I think still a post-game weightlifter, Nikola Jokic.
All right. Well, anything else that stood out that you think we need to talk about here from that post-game Zoom?
You know, Monte Morris was great. You know, he was really happy for Bolt. He thought he played really well. He didn't want to make any excuses about the injuries, but I think Monte sounded calm, sounded measured, sounded like he still thinks, you know, things are trending up. I think I agree, guys. I mean, the defense is going to be a talking point, but the bench played well. You get out to that big lead on the road. And Jamal Murray was horrible tonight, I thought, and you can expect better from him in big games. So I don't know. I thought some things were positive tonight, and this guy's loose, but it ain't falling yet, fellas.
I think that you can feel that in the theme of this show.
Yeah.
That things are just slowly but surely trending up regardless of the result. Like,
there were a lot of positives tonight.
Early in the season, you looked at that bench unit and thought, like, they're going to be fighting this thing every night for the entire season, and this is going to be really tough to watch. Seeing them come together, seeing the offense start to click a little bit more, you do feel a hell of a lot more confident in, like, the long-term goals of this team.
Denver dominated the first half tonight. Absolutely dominated. They were great on offense. They were great on defense. And then just that lapse in the third quarter cost them.
We haven't even talked about who had the worst game tonight, which, looking at the ESPN box score, P.J. Dozier plays 0 minutes and finishes with a -1.
I think they were wrong about that one.
I think you're looking at R.J. Hampton.
That's what I mean. R.J. Hampton. R.J. Hampton, 0 minutes, -1.
You guys may have talked about this already in the stonks, but it's been tough for P.J. Dozier, man. And we joked, you know, we wonder if he gets that Torrey Craig-esque usage. Well, in a very specific way, it's a strong yes so far. Insofar as Malone's kind of fallen back on that, on what he considers a crutch that maybe always isn't effective. You know, PJ has suffered from some funky utilization this year, playing in some weird roles, tough matchups, but he just has not been what he's capable of being offensively. And, you know, it's getting tougher and tougher to trust him out there, at least for me.
Yeah. All right, Vote. Appreciate you as always. Thanks for popping in. And I think hopefully we'll see you back here soon.
I miss your face.
I'll be back on the next one, fellas. Miss you.
Let's go.
Later, man.
I'm buying Vote stock.
Buying Vote stock?
Yeah.
upvote.
Yeah. No, the Dozier point is interesting because I feel like his role has been magnified to like a level that it shouldn't be
right
so far this season. His role has been bigger, especially on the offensive end, than it should be. But yeah, you wonder what happens to him when Michael Porter Jr. comes back, because that's the other side of the coin when making the argument about, like, oh, they want to start Bowl and keep that bench together. Well, they're only going to be able to keep that bench together on a best-case scenario for a few more games until Michael Porter Jr. comes back, and then one of those guys is probably out, you know?
It's easy to see who's going to be out. It's going to be P.J. Dozier. He has not put together good games in a while now. Today was a very, very rough game. Like, the thing with P.J. Dozier is he can shoot you out of a game. Like, he's very aggressive. He's a shoot-first point guard.
He might be one of the more confident off-the-bench guys in the entire league, man.
Jordan Clarkson, in a way. Like, as soon as he gets the ball, he is going to shoot it. And if he's not making them, it's going to look rough for him. There's going to be nights that he is making them, and it's going to be like, okay, he brought things off the bench. But also, he plays 27 minutes tonight. You're going to give those 27 minutes to Michael Porter Jr. Like,
for sure.
You're just going to do it. So where could he fit in?
He's aggressive, but he has yet to prove that he's a good scorer in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't do it consistently.
I mean, this is his first year playing real rotation minutes. That's the other thing, too. You know?
It doesn't look like he has a reliable jump shot. He's not a reliable three-point shooter. And he often struggles when he gets around the rim against some of the big rim protectors.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a sweetener. Like, you bring him in moments where it's unexpected, but, like, he's proving he can't be relied upon. But, like, in the playoffs when we needed something to sort of change the pace up, he came in and he was great. But, you know.
Yeah. All right, well, we could probably wrap up here. I mean, you guys got any other overriding takeaways from this one? Like, we've talked about a lot of the positives on this show, and like, there were a lot of positives tonight. The bench, another big game from Yoke. Will Barton showed a lot of life offensively. Just that third quarter just did them in.
I think this team is getting ready to pop, and I think what's going to happen is Michael Porter Jr. is going to come back, and they're going to, and it's not going to be instant. There'll be a couple games where they're kind of, he's kind of getting his feet back under him, and they're trying to kind of getting the flow back together.
It takes 2 weeks always when a player comes back from injury, and Michael Porter Jr. is essentially coming back from injury.
Right, and I think right after that original acclimation period, this team's going to go on a big streak.
Yeah.
My 2 points is, when Michael Porter Jr. gets back, like when he was playing, the issue was the bench was not doing well. Now we're starting to see the bench like rise. So that's like a really, really good thing. On the flip side, what I did not like is on the vote thing. Like, I don't like the fact that they're acting like the injuries are so, like a huge thing right now, because Brooklyn is like maybe the most injured team there is, or just like there's so much going on. Like the Kyrie Irving news, like
they have
a lot of things going on. Spencer Dinwiddie is out for the whole year. Tyler Johnson is on the protocol. Like, they didn't have a point guard. They don't have a point guard. So like that's injuries. Like that's things that's really going on. And today all of the Kyrie Irving news came out. So like they had a lot of things that they could have. This could have been a letdown game for them. So that kind of throws me off.
Yeah. The next big kind of tipping point for this team is probably when MPJ gets back. And I mean, I don't think there's a set date on when he could be coming back.
It's gotta
I think
be it's soon, right?
Kind of fluid, you would think, but I mean, as we've seen with this stuff, it's just kind of up in the air with all these COVID protocols and whatnot. So I feel like that's about all we've got for tonight. Mash that like button
Mash
if
it.
You haven't already. Mash it. Smash it. Subscribe.
Just hit it. Like, don't hit it multiple times. Then you'll undo it.
Just hit it the once. Hit it the one time with purpose.
Yeah.
Think about Hardenstein while you do it.
don't miss it.
Well, he hits. He's a hitter.
He's a smasher.
Yeah, foul that like button.
Yeah. All right. Take it easy, guys. Thanks for tuning in. See ya. So really excited to have Hassel Cattle Company on board here at DNVR, because you guys know we brought you damn good beer with Breck Brew. Now we're bringing you damn good beef. That's right. Hassel Cattle Company equals hassle-free meat for life. They are the absolute best source for farm-to-table Wagyu beef in the country. Hassel Cattle Company is a fourth-generation cattle farm out of Texas, and they ship all over the beautiful USA and straight to your door. They have every type of beef that you guys could possibly ask for. They call their beef the blue collar Wagyu. Why? Because it's the best damn Wagyu beef that every man or woman can afford. Hassel Cattle Company offers everything. Wagyu smoked sausage, New York strip, beef bacon, Wagyu Frank, two jerky flavors. Their hamburger, One Food Network's Northeast Burger Jam. Check them out today, hasselcattlecompany.com, H-A-S-S-E-L-L, cattlecompany.com. Use promo code DNVR10, promo code DNVR10 for 10% off your order. I can confirm, these guys are legit the best Wagyu beef around. Use code DNVR10 for 10% off your order, and any order is over $200, you will receive free shipping. Check them out today.